Welcome into the Thunder basketball universe, and boy, what a week it has been inside of this Thunder basketball universe. The Thunder wrap up their regular season 82-game schedule, finish with 57 wins, finish the number one team in the Western Conference, now gearing up towards postseason and playoffs. Meanwhile, the OKC Blue, the Thunder's G League affiliate, wins a G League championship. Usman Jang becomes MVP of the G League final. So there's so much happening within this Thunder realm. And so to get us all geared up for playoffs here in Oklahoma City, we brought in a good friend of ours, the vice president of broadcast and communications here at the Thunder, Dan Mahoney, and friend of the pod at this point.
The best friend this pod has ever had.
That's right. Not just saying that.
From its very inception, in fact.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Dan, we see all of things happening around Oklahoma City, downtown, the sculptures in Scissortail Park. We see the signs on the side of the Omni and the Paycom Center. What can fans expect for playoffs here?
Well, it's been 5 years since we've had a home playoff series. But of course, it's only been three seasons since the Thunder was in the playoffs.
Right.
People forget that that playoff series in 2020 was in the bubble in Orlando.
Right.
So our fans have great history with the playoffs. You know, but the last home game literally was 5 years ago. So we want our fans to sort of get back to that feeling of 2010, the first year, and all those great playoff moments, all the great playoff energy. You know, we want them to really not take this for granted, you know, not say, oh, it's the first round or whatever they're going to say. We really have to have our fans back in that mode of just a fervor over being in the playoffs. Oklahoma City and Oklahoma being represented across the global stage of the NBA. So we have a lot of things planned. We've got, you know, it's really a couple of different buckets. The first bucket is the fans that have tickets that are coming to the game. We are opening the doors at Paycom Center 2 hours early. Normally we do it 90 minutes, but we're going to open them 2 hours early. So for games one and two, that's 6:30. The doors will open. And then that first hour after the doors open, we're going to have 50% off all food and drinks in the arena.
Nice.
And before anybody asks, because everybody asks, yes, it includes beer.
Wow.
So that's going to be the first hour you're in there, you know, get dinner, have a great time, enjoy everything that's going on inside the arena. But then at 8 o'clock, you know, for an 8:30 tip, at 8 o'clock, get in your seats, put on your t-shirts, which for game one will be MidFirst Bank, for game two will be Riverwind Casino. Put on those t-shirts, put yourself back to that feeling that you had in the spring of 2010, in that first Lakers series, that energy, that how the pride you had in the team, the pride you had in your city and your state, being ready, and then just be ready. When our guys take the floor, we want that place to be as loud as ever. You know, we have the reputation, we call it Loud City, but we really kind of surprised the NBA world in 2010 just how loud and supportive our fans can be. We got to get back to that. So we got to remind the world that we are a Loud City and we're going to be ready for our players to come out. So be in your seats by 8 o'clock, put on your t-shirt, get ready, stand up, and just ready for a great night of playoff basketball.
The remarkable thing is that for some generation of Thunder fans, this is going to feel like their first time as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you've been to a game, a playoff game in the past, especially those early days, talk to somebody who hasn't and tell them what it was like and just get them to relive that, because it's as we all know, I mean, we've been out of it for three seasons. There are plenty of teams that were out of it for multiple seasons, 15, 20 seasons. It's never a given that you're going to be in the playoffs. So soak it in. Like, I just encourage every fan in that building, take a minute when you walk in, see your t-shirt, put it on, soak it in. That Oklahoma City Thunder is in the playoffs. And just be ready to be loud and crazy.
You mentioned those two buckets. So the
There are three buckets.
Okay. All right.
There's the people that are coming to the game. There are people who aren't coming to the game. And there are people who want to come to the game and want to know how to get tickets, and I can address all those.
Okay, let's get to the second bucket.
Okay. So these are the people that, you know, want to be part of it, but for whatever reason won't be able to get tickets.
Yeah.
We do have a pregame party, and a lot of people ask about, will you be doing Thunder Alley? Well, we don't call it Thunder Alley anymore. We call it Thunder Up in the Park, because the thing we didn't have last time we were in a home playoff situation is this beautiful new park across from the arena called Scissortail Park.
Beautiful.
We all love it over there. It's perfect place to have fans show up before the game. That will open up 3 hours before the game. So for games one and two, that's Actually, I think it's going to open at 5 o'clock, 3.5 hours.
Nice.
And then it'll close as the game begins. But we are asking our fans who do have tickets to come over a little earlier. But the Thunder Up in the Park will stay open. A lot of things to do there. All the things that you can do inside, you can be able to do over there. It's really cool. And even before the game, people should come down to Scissortail, look at the setup. There's some great stuff that you can see. We can see it out of our window right here. These great things are being set up. The whole downtown environment will be thundered up with these huge player banners on the arena, on the Omni. And so there's going to be a lot to do there. And then as the game starts, go off and wherever you want to watch the game.
Yeah.
You know, the Thunder Bar Network through Michelob Ultra is going to have, I mean, every TV in Oklahoma is going to be on the playoffs.
Yeah. This is true.
So go somewhere, go home, go have a watch party with your family and your friends and your neighbors and your church and your whoever else, or go to a bar, go to a restaurant and enjoy the game.
It is remarkable just you putting in perspective, you know, 2010 to now, what downtown looks like, what we have here down here to provide to fans as this experience outside of our arena. So cool that the team is offering this opportunity.
Yeah, and you know, people ask, why don't you do an outdoor viewing like you did with Thunder Alley years ago? The main reason is, number one, we don't have Reno anymore to use because of the streetcar that has come about. So, and we have this wonderful park. For the first round, we're not going to do outdoor viewing. We're going to reserve the right to look at it for later rounds. But really, we would just encourage people to enjoy the Thunder Up in the Park. And as that winds down, just before the game starts, go find somewhere to watch the game.
All right, let's get to the last bucket of fans who want to figure out how to get inside of the arena but don't quite know. What would you tell them?
So there are a couple ways. Number one, at Thunder Up in the Park and through our social media channels on game day, we're going to have some tickets to give away. So come down to the Thunder Up in the Park event at 5 o'clock on Sunday and Wednesday, and you'll see opportunities to win.
Yeah.
Then our social media channels have a few pairs of tickets each game to give away in a what we call viral way. So just kind of be watching, paying attention. Look around, be ready to jump on that opportunity. But really, the thing people need to remember is we have a website, okcthunder.com/buy-tickets.
Okay.
And that's partnered with Ticketmaster. And you get on there. And so one of the things, and in all candor, this is being recorded prior to us knowing who our opponent is.
Right.
One of the things that happens is once we know who that opponent is, there'll be some tickets released by the NBA, by the other teams. So stay on that website, okcthunder.com/buy-tickets. Even though they may not show face value tickets now, there could be some that crop up over the next few days. The other part of that is the authentic resale through Ticketmaster. And this isn't Craigslist. this is the authentic way to buy resale tickets. These are tickets that season ticket members are selling. You know, because the way the NBA playoffs system works, you don't know the dates.
Right.
So people have conflicts. People can't be at these games necessarily, maybe. So this is a way for them to resell their tickets. Now, the price for those tickets is determined by the seller.
Right.
But the thing to know is you get online, you find those seats, you find those tickets, you pay through Ticketmaster. It's guaranteed authentic.
Yeah.
You're not going to get scammed. You're not going to get to the game and told, sorry, this is a fake ticket. This is authentic. It's guaranteed through Ticketmaster and the Thunder, and it's going to be the way for people to be able to get in the game.
It's so interesting because me and Nick have been at the practice facility for the past 2 days talking to guys, and one of the questions that keeps getting popped up right now is, how excited are you to be inside a Paycom Center during the playoffs? And they are all like, so hyped up about the idea of playing in front of Loud City and that playoff atmosphere. Dan, you've been here for a long time. Can you describe that atmosphere, having been in the arena during those moments?
I mean, it's just it's the thing that goosebumps are made of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's loud. I sit and watch you guys on TV and listen to Matt Pinto on the radio in one ear, listen to you guys on TV.
That's impressive, by the way. I have
noise canceling headphones. Yet I still can't believe how loud it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and you know, our fans, again, I'm going to reiterate, don't take this for granted that we're in the playoffs. And I don't think they are. I think they realize after 3 seasons out of the playoffs, like, if we're here, this is special. This is a special team. It's a unique team. We're in a unique situation in our growth as a team. And this season has proven it.
Yeah.
You know, we would encourage Take your mind back to October of 2023. What were you thinking this team would be doing in April or May?
Yeah.
Did anybody have them as the top seed in the West? Maybe some people did.
Mm-hmm.
But this team has performed. This team has really worked hard and been very special and unique. And no telling what will happen. It's the NBA. Anything can happen. But we are playing way beyond, I think, where people thought we'd be. So we would encourage our fans, appreciate that. Have gratitude for that. And be there in your seats by 8 o'clock to just go crazy.
This team,
loud.
Yeah. This team is definitely making people feel something. Yeah. And it's so interesting that you brought up 2010. We actually talked to Lou Dort today. And he said,
don't tell me how old he was at the time.
He said he was going back and watching some of those moments inside this building in 2010, 2011, 2012. And he's getting fired up. He's getting hyped up about that. So really, you know, poetic that that even the guys are really tapping into what the fans here have the possibility of making them feel on the floor.
Yeah, well, even as little kids, and that's what they were at the time, they were falling in love with the NBA. And we were in the finals in 2012. And that's that was they were very, you know, that created a lasting impression.
Yeah.
And so they remember that. And we have fans that maybe were that same age. Mm-hmm. We're doing a profile for our website and our social media of a young man who was about 7 years old and his parents had season tickets and he started coming to the game. He's now in law school.
Wow.
And he, you know, has just grown up with the team and he remembers those days as a little kid and he's just been able to grow up seeing all this happen. And so it really does very much show the passage of time, but it also shows the level of commitment this community has in this team, the level of support we have. And now is the time to, if you're coming to the game, really show it, be out there standing up and, you know, and the traditions will continue, the t-shirts. It's we're just ready to go. It's going to be, I mean, so the one word has to be loud.
Loud. That is the perfect way to describe how to show up for this Thunder team during the playoffs. So many different ways to get involved.
We want you to be so loud that you drown out Nick Gallo and Paris Lawson on TV.
Please.
It's Dan's dream. Yeah.
I can't hear them. What'd they say? That's good.
That's good. That's good. That's the goal. That is definitely the goal. And it's great that there's so many different ways that you can be a part of this, whether that's going to the arena, actually going to the games, okcthunder.com/buy tickets, or thundering up in the park. That sounds like an awesome time before you get to your seats in Paycom Center. Dan, thank you so much for joining us on the pod today.
And try as hard as you want. I'm not barking. Don't even try. Don't even ask.
We got to get the J Will and J Dub in here.
I know. They're a little more persuasive than we are.
Yeah.
I'm not going there. That's for you, Gallo. That's all for you.
We'll save that for next pod. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a short break real quick. But when we come back, we are talking to OKC Blue G League Finals MVP Usman Jang up at the Thunder practice facility. Stick around. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. We are coming to you live from the Thunder Ion, the practice facility for the Oklahoma City Thunder. As we mentioned earlier, your Oklahoma City Blue, the Thunder G League affiliate, are G League champs this year. What an incredible season it has been. So we had to bring in our good friend Usman Jang to talk to him a little bit. Not only is he a Thunder player, but also G League Finals MVP. Congratulations, Uz. That is such an incredible accomplishment. And I just want to know off the top, how are you feeling right now?
I feel good to be back with the team. And yeah, feel good to be back here. We had a lot of travel, so it felt good.
We got to see the moment where you all finally got back, and we'll get into all the details, but you know, you were in Maine, Portland, Maine, which I'm sure you've never been to before, and you know, come all the way back home, and you guys get a chance to meet up with the rest of the Thunder team and had that nice moment post-practice. What was that like to get back together with the group and have a nice celebration?
It was really good. I feel like that showed that they care about like the G League and like everybody's a big family. So that was really nice and that was good.
We have to know, Uz, we've heard so many stories about the crazy travel, as you hinted at earlier. Starting from going from Oklahoma City to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, what was that journey like for you guys?
It was crazy. So we went to Sioux Falls. I don't know where it is, but we went to Sioux Falls. Then after the game, we drove to Omaha, Nebraska, I think so. then we flew to Sacramento to play against Stockton. Stockton is like an hour away from Sacramento, so we drove like an hour before the game. We played in Stockton, then we drove to San Francisco after the game. And from San Francisco, we flew to Boston, then drove to Maine and played the day after.
And so you all, Ooze, you hit a game winner at home in the first round of the playoffs in the Western Conference against Rio Grande Valley. That was at Paycom Center. We're definitely going to ask you about that. But after that game, you all had to go to South Dakota to Sioux Falls. Did you all take a bus all the way up there? Did you fly? How did you guys get there? Because it's not easy to get to Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
we flew over there, so we split in like three groups, and one group was like leaving at 4:30, the other one at 5, the other one at 6. So it was a little bit crazy. And yeah, I think we flew over there, and like when we got here, we drove like probably like 40 minutes, an hour.
Yeah,
I mean, how weird is that experience? You're used to being, you know, with the Thunder, and we all show up at the plane, you know, 15 minutes before takeoff.
Red carpet laid out. Yeah.
And here you guys are getting like separated at the airport to get on different flights. I mean, what is that like for you?
It's weird. Like, it's pretty tough, but I mean, like, I'm not going to complain about it. I do what I love. So I'm not going to complain about that, but like, yeah, it's pretty tough.
What gets me is you're 6'9", so like the average human being on a commercial flight is like you're pretty cramped anyway. But I imagine for you guys, trying to vouch for aisle seats is probably a fun game to play on those flights.
Yeah, exactly. Every time we fly like Southwest, it's like it's the first one in the plane who got the better seat. So it's a little bit a rush.
So I'm curious, because the flight from San Francisco to Boston, a very long flight, but then you hit the ground running. It's game one of the G League Finals. Yeah. What's the mentality for you guys as a group to make sure you're ready to go regardless of how crazy the travel's been?
I think it's like just like play hard, play together. Mm-hmm. I think we didn't do that the game one. That's what we lost. But when we came back here and like went back for the last game, I think we did that great.
Yeah.
And if you missed it, you know, the game two here at Paycom Center, the scene and the atmosphere was awesome.
So fun. Yeah.
Tell me what that felt like walking into that building. You've played a bunch of G League games at Paycom Center before, but that one was really different and really special.
Yeah, it felt good. It felt like a Thunder game. Like, it was a lot of fan. The Thunder players were there. So that was really cool.
I wanted to touch back on that game winner that you hit over RGV. It was this great, we see this move from you, and you're so powerful with it, this kind of Eurostep runner that you have from about, you know, 8-10 feet. Tell me about that move and why you were so confident to go to it in that do or die situation to win that game.
I think I use a lot of that move. I don't know, I've always been doing that. And yeah, I think I had like wasn't my best game, but like at the end of the game, like Kim just told me like, go make a play. So that's just what I did. So that's good.
How does it feel to have that confidence from Cam? I mean, you've spent a lot of time with him over the course of this season. What's it like to have that confidence from
him? It feels good. It's always good to have like the confidence of the coach. And he's been really good for me, him and Daniel. So that was really great.
Yeah, Cam Woods has been a part of the Thunder organization for a while. He actually played for the OKC Blue before, you know, joining the coaching staff. And like I mentioned before, I think you guys started like 2-9 in the regular season. What did he do to keep the atmosphere positive so that you could rip off the great stretch of wins that you had? I think you guys won 12 of your last 14 games and really entered the playoffs with a ton of momentum. What was his role in that?
I think we always had the 0-0 mentality. And yeah, like every game we were like, it's like a 0-0, so... Yeah, we were playing every game like a final. Not a final, but like we were like worried about the record or the ranking. So that's just that.
I'm curious, Ooze, that finals game in Portland, you guys were able to kind of take control of the game earlier. What was working for you guys in that game at that point?
I think we were playing together on defense, especially like on the pursuit. That was a big thing in the game one, so I think we were better on that. And yeah, after that, just like running and like play together, play all style.
And you earned finals MVP, obviously some big time shot making as well. What did that feel like for you to receive that honor?
I feel good. It feels like that means I'm progressing and I'm on the right way. So it feels really good.
The three-point shot is something that we see you work on so much, and it's such a crucial part of your game because of what you can do off the dribble as well. Tell me about the work that's gone into your shot and how that feels to be able to have such an explosive game from behind the arc.
It's a lot of work. I work a lot with Chip. I still have some work to do, but I think it's getting better, and I'm gonna keep working on it.
Is there an aspect of your shot that feels better now than it did before?
Probably my form. I completely changed my form since I got here. So I was like shooting on the side before, but now I'm like more square, and yeah, everything is more straight.
Yeah, it seems like the ball doesn't rotate the way that it rotated when you first got here. Are you seeing that when the ball goes up?
A little bit. I feel like my whole life, my ball rotation was like a little bit weird, but I'm still working on that.
Well, the results have been great, and especially, you know, towards the end of the season, that those shots have dropped, and you shoot them with so much confidence. I mean, some of those sidestep threes, you're just getting them off over the top of guys, and it seems like you're not even seeing the defender.
Yeah, I feel like I used to play like that. Back in France, I was like almost only shooting threes, so it's something I'm used to do, and I'm trying to do more now, yeah.
You've obviously spent a lot of time in the G League this year. We talked to Coach Dagnall, and it was funny because you're still just 20 years old. You've been with this organization, it feels like, for a long time now. How have you felt yourself grow from rookie Ooze when you first came in, 19 years old, to where you are now?
I feel like I grow, like, on the court and off the court. Like, the guys helped me, like, grow and, like, learn about, like, the culture, everything.
How has your time with the Blue helped you with that? Because from what we've understood and learned is that the Blue and the Thunder are just so close that everything that you run with the Thunder, you're running that with the Blue too.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like there's no difference like between the Blue and the Thunder except the travels. But yeah, like on the court, I feel like it's the same. So that's good.
We were just talking to Lou Dort here at practice, and obviously he was a guy that started out as a two-way player, spent a ton of time with the OKC Blue, and we asked him about you, and he said, that's my brother. And he's so he just has loved watching your confidence continue to peak. And he was saying, you know, he's a 19-year-old kid coming over to the United States for the first time. Like, he's really marveled and really been impressed by the way that you've handled all of what's been thrown at you here at 19 and 20 years old. About to turn 21 here in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah. Lou helped me a lot. Like, with the G League or with the Thunder, like during practice, during games. So it's been a really good help. So shout out Lou.
What has Lou said to you, or you know, what does that help look like?
I mean, it depends. Like, 2 days ago, like, I was talking with him, and DA was like, don't talk to the refs. Like, because, like, with the Blue, I used to, like, talk to the ref and, like, get frustrated. So it was like, just don't talk to them. Like, you don't care about it. And just play your game. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's good stuff. Yeah.
So much fun watching it. And obviously, I imagine having a guy who speaks French helps out, too, being able to talk in French. And now you've got Bismack, who also speaks French as well. Always got some French speakers in the locker room. Thunder locker room.
We mentioned just a second ago that you're still only 20. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask you about the post-game locker room celebration up in Portland when they win game 3. And of course, you know, they just won the G League finals. There's champagne, there's cigars, whatever. You're 20 years old. Are you like, are you trying to stay out of the way of everything? What do you do? How do you like celebrate with your teammates in that situation when you're so young?
I just poured the champagne on the others, and I kept the plastic on the cigar. And
still celebrating, but understanding that you're just 20 years old. So now you come back to Oklahoma City. What a week it has been. You win a G League finals. You win G League MVP. And now the Thunder's going into the playoffs. Just what is this kind of moment like being back with the Thunder as they're heading into postseason now?
I feel good. I'm excited about the playoff. I feel like I'm just starting a season, like a new season. And yeah, I'm ready for the playoff and ready to get a chip.
I see your dad at the arena quite often, and I know, you know, he's a former basketball player, and you looked up to him growing up, and he just seems so proud. Every time I see him, he's so proud to be in an NBA arena there for you. What was his reaction when you won G League Finals MVP and you come home with a championship?
I left just before I came back, so.
Oh no, he just missed it.
Yeah. Just missed it.
But yeah, no, he was proud and he was happy, so that's all that matters.
That's good. And you guys, I'm sure you've had a lot of FaceTimes back home to France. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, it was congratulations again. Very well-deserved honor. And it's been so fun watching you grow this season and see all of the success that you've been having. Happy to have you back with the Thunder for postseason, too.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Uz.
All right. You. That's Usman Jang, and we'll be back right after this. Always great getting a chance to catch up with Usman Jang. I'm just so happy for him and the OKC Blue, just knowing everything that they've gone through this season and to end up on top after all of that, just so incredible.
And amazing to just see how much someone as young as he is can change and grow in a matter of a few months. You know, I feel like this has been a great opportunity for the Thunder to kind of put him with the G League for an extended period of time, let him have a like this consistent role and situation. And he continues to flourish and grow in different ways. He's a totally different person than he was a year ago, 6 months ago, and 3 months ago even.
And he doesn't need an MVP of G League Finals to validate the work that he's put in. He has been putting in a lot of great work, and it hasn't gone unrecognized by the Thunder organization or Thunder head coach Mark Daigneault, who's also gotten recognized recently. This is another big piece of news that came out of the Thunder basketball universe here in the past week. Thunder head coach Mark Daigneault was named National Basketball Coaches Association Coach of the Year. That means his peers voted him as Coach of the Year, an incredible and well-deserved accomplishment for Coach Daigneault.
Also kind of wild that the three coaches that general manager Sam Presti is hired to be the coach here in Oklahoma City have all won this award. Scott Brooks, Billy Donovan, and Mark Daigneault have all won the Coach of the Year award by the Coaches Association. Obviously, incredibly well-deserved for Mark. This is a guy who, even you know, talking to him over the last couple of days, he has had a consistent mentality theme to the way that he has approached his job since he took over in 2020. That has not wavered or changed. The players have been able to not just not buy in, they are believers from the start. And those guys have meshed so perfectly with this. And they have banged that drum consistently over the last three plus years. And now they're at the top of the West because of it. And just so remarkable that a team whose average age is under 24 is in the spot that they're in right now. A lot of credit to not just Mark, as he mentioned, the rest of the coaching staff, the invisible work that goes on behind the scenes.
Remarkable, indeed. Okay. You set me up for that one. That was a good one. But to your point, every coach that has come into the Thunder organization, Coach Daigneault brought it up to the other day at practice. He was like, this award is great. I'm humbled, so grateful. A little uncomfortable because I'm the one getting singled out for all of the incredible work that goes on behind the scenes and everyone that works, that puts in work that leads to wins. And one of his sayings that he says all the time, there are a lot of them and they're all, they're all great. They're all great. One of the things he says all the time is that coaches can't win games, but they can lose them.
Right.
And there are a lot of people working to help rack up those 57 wins that the Thunder earned this season. And Coach Daigneault, obviously leading the charge on that, but he gave so much credit to everybody working within the organization to help generate that culture and environment that you were talking about.
And most importantly, the players who actually go out and win the games and perform. And, you know, obviously, as he was saying, if we didn't perform like this, if we didn't win 57 games, if we are not the number one seed in the West, I'm not getting that award. And so really, Mark, as always, had wonderful perspective about this accolade that's come towards him. And so many people would have taken this differently, run with it in a different way. And Mark, steady as ever.
I do need to give Mark his flowers, though, because here's the beauty of Coach Daigneault. I learned so much every time I go to a press conference or a media availability for Coach Daigneault. And I work with Royce Young for the pregame and postgame show. And one of the things that he brought up in our postgame show the other day was like, I'll take stuff. I will take notes from Coach Dagnall and use it for my son's eight-year-old boys baseball team. And those kids are going hard. Like, those kids are learning and getting better. And I'm using the stuff that Coach is saying during media avails.
When we were in Charlotte here towards the end of the season, I grew up in North Carolina. Some kids came down from my high school who are interested in, you know, media and broadcasting, that kind of thing. And I'm talking to them, and all of a sudden, out of my mouth bubbles 0-0 mentality about the way to kind of approach their careers and their lives. And it hit me, this exact same point that you're making, like, oh my gosh, all of this stuff applies to every part of our lives. Yeah,
it's everyday life.
And this is the educator in Mark, and the guy that's, you know, got a graduate degree, is he understands sort of the human condition in a way. He's like studied it. He's researched it. And so I think he really understands a lot of the ingredients that go into development as human beings and growth as human beings. One of the things that he talks about is like skill acquisition. And that's something that he's actually studied. And we're obviously seeing it come to fruition here.
And just his ability to just maintain and grow relationships with these players. I mean, we'll talk to every single player and not one ill word about Coach. Actually, I take that back. Shea said he was annoying.
He said he nags them a lot about like playing defense and all sorts of
stuff. All the good things that you have to have in your ear to stay as consistent as Shea is. Yeah, those are the things that Mark's nagging him about.
I think it's so funny because like the only way that in an NBA environment that players talk about their coach like that publicly in the media is if they absolutely love them.
Exactly. You know, like, exactly. Yeah, You're not saying that if you actually mean it.
So it was really, really great stuff. Some amazing vibes the first couple days of practice here during this week break where the Thunder is trying to figure out who they're going to play. They all went and watched the West play-in games together on Tuesday night as the Lakers beat the Pelicans and the Kings beat the Golden State Warriors. They're going to get together again on Friday here to watch the Pelicans-Kings as that game is going to determine who the Thunder plays in round one.
Yeah, so I'll use another Mark-ism for you. 0-0 mentality, because that's what OKC has right now during this stretch. We've talked to about, I think, four players now, and five of them, actually. Yeah. Each one of them has said, this is a brand new season, basically. All those wins that we racked up, 57 wins, number one seed in the Western Conference, that's wonderful, great accomplishment, but none of that means anything going into the first round of the playoffs.
Doesn't give us any extra points when the game
starts. Exactly. Yeah. We don't start with a 57-point lead because of all the wins that we racked up. Right. So this is a 0-0 mentality, but carrying over all of the lessons from the 82-game season, and this is what I think makes Coach Dagnall such a great coach, is that throughout the season, he was implementing different things so that by the time you get to playoffs, you're the same team, but you have all of these tools in your toolkit. Your ability to adapt on the fly, in-game, in real time, and just take whatever's being thrown at you and just reroute the ship and get back on track. All of those things that Thunder was doing during the regular season, having a 0-0 mindset going into each and every new game in a series, all of those things are going to be so, so important in the playoffs.
And the Thunder's had a philosophy of not selling out and taking a shortcut to win that one game in front of them that night, but to think about the set of games that they're going to have to win, how they're going to have to win when the stakes are the highest and the competition level is at the highest. It's no wonder that the Thunder lost the fewest man games due to injury this season, in part because of obviously, you know, the youth and this team, you know, just having fresh legs, fresh bodies and all that. But the depth of the team, the minutes that were played by these guys were not outrageous, exorbitant, because the team wasn't selling out to try to win one game. They're trying to develop an entire team to be able to compete throughout the course of an 82-game marathon, but also be prepared for every potential eventuality that might come their way that they can possibly foresee once the playoffs begin.
And that's the point, is that you can't control the future. You can't control who you're going to play in the playoffs. All you can control is your ability to respond to adversity and be adaptable with whatever's thrown your way. The Thunder's had a lot thrown their way this season as a compliment to how good they've been this year and how strong their offense is. They've had a lot of different coverages they've had to navigate. That is an awesome, awesome lesson to take with you into the postseason, where teams are going to just start doing things that they haven't practiced yet just to try to slow you down, things that they haven't gone over in a long time just to just try to calm down the Thunder's offense. But OKC's ability to be adaptable in those situations is going to take them a really, really long way.
And I think that there's a level of satisfaction that this team can have here to double down on all of those mantras, all of that messaging that we've been talking about that they've been using since 2020 to talk now when they're in the number one seed in the West, the youngest number one seed in NBA history. There has to be a level of satisfaction to recognize that, hey, all of those things that we've been preaching internally, that we've been committed to, that the standards we've been holding ourselves to, all of those things got us here. We're going to double down and apply them all continuously now because we found a formula that we think can work for us.
And another point, the environment in the Thunder practice facility in the Ion, exact same that it has been for the last 4 years. Just come in, do the work, and then keep your head down, keep moving forward, hold yourself to that high standard, go out there and compete. Nothing changes because it's the postseason now, and that's the goal, is maintaining consistency within your every single day so that you're able to show up and perform each night. One other thing that I thought was really interesting, Jalen Williams, J-Dub, we talked to him yesterday. We're recording this on Thursday, April 18th, so the day before the Thunder finds out who they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs. We were talking to J-Dub, and I asked him about how cool is it to see the OKC Blue, because they all came to practice right after they won the championship, and it was the Thunder's first practice back after a couple of days off after the regular season. And J-Dub was like, honestly, it's really inspiring to see those guys. And it was inspiring, A, because, like, yeah, they won the championship, but they encountered so many things out of their control. As we talked to Usman Jang, we just learned all of the travel adversity that was thrown their way. They were able to just be in the present moment and still take care of business. And that's obviously been the Thunder's MO all season long. It's just, we can't control everything, but we're going to control what we can control and take care of business.
Yeah, when the lights come on, we're in between the lines for 48 minutes. All of that can be the same no matter what just happened before, no matter what's about to happen to us after.
Exactly. So a lot to look forward to. It is an exciting time, as we heard from Dan, as we heard from Ooze. All of the guys are pumped. Playoffs in OKC. Can you believe it? Oh, so excited.
I'm so excited for you.
This is
your first experience.
Okay, but listen. I started this job in 2019. And so the bubble year was my first year.
Yeah.
That game 7 was awesome against Houston. So, like, that playoff series was so fun. And it was in an empty arena, and I was watching from afar.
Me and you were fired up on the floor of Paycom Center with about 7 other people
humans in that building, and
we were all watching on monitors.
Cavernous arena, and we're, like, pumped. And so I can only imagine that level of energy with 18,000 people in the stands. Oh, my gosh. I just can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be electric. I'm so excited for you to experience this for the first time. I, like we mentioned with Dan, just like Lou Dort, I mean, seeing some of these memories coming flashing back. And our at OKC Thunder social channels have been doing an awesome job of this too.
Crushing it.
Putting out some of these memories of just what it looked like back then. Charles Barkley riding a horse down Reno Avenue. I mean, just some of these things that happened that really put you in that time and that place and remembering what that feels like. And I think the greatest thing about what's happened is this team is making people feel that way. And I'm so excited for them to come into that building with all of that in their hearts and then unleashing it out onto the floor.
Just come in barking. That's all we ask. Okay. What's on tap? Dan laid out a lot of it, but just so you have it on your calendar, write it down. Don't forget it. The first game of the playoffs, it's going to be on Sunday, April 21st. At 8:30 p.m. Central Time. Come down to Paycom Center or tune in. Bally Sports Oklahoma will have you covered. You can also listen to it on the radio. Game 2 is going to be on Wednesday, April 24th. That game is also at 8:30 p.m. Bally Sports Oklahoma.
And then we'll be off to the races. The Thunder will be either heading to Sacramento or New Orleans after that, and a couple games on the road for game 3 and 4. We'll see what happens after that.
Oh my gosh, it's so fun. I'm so excited. Yeah. I can't wait. I can't believe we got this far into the podcast without talking about one of the most exciting things that happened week, though.
Oh no.
So we got a Nick Gallo bark on a walk-off. I can't believe it. Tell us everything.
First of all, I think this is such a I'm been so pleased that the fans have been able to see the personalities of our players shine forth like this, to see what great guys they are. They've had this wonderful routine and ritual all season long. I've been very blessed to and honored to just kind of be, you know, alongside them while they do this, while they clearly show their love and care for one another. And so for, you know, at the end of the season, for them to include me in that and, you know, do it in a coordinated way that I was not expecting, was really, really special. And so I really appreciate that. And I got to give a shout out also to our videographer, our cameraman, Tuffy.
Yeah.
You know, he had to dodge a screen by J-Dub he was Lou Dort out there. J-Dub kind of got in front of the camera and Tuffy like got into the right spot. And it was just like kind of this great dramatic reveal. So anyway, it was funny. I appreciate all of the comments and, you know, people stopping me around town to bark at me and whatnot. It's been fun.
I couldn't believe my ears because I've got my IFBs. I got my headset in. I'm walking out from my spot to go to do the post game show. So I walk right behind the scrum, which is what it is now. It's not a post game interview. It is a scrum. And it was the whole team, basically. This is the most people you've had in a walk off, I think.
I think it was like seven or something. Yeah. It was a lot.
And all of a sudden, I just hear this loud bark. I'm like, oh, that was Gallo. That was Gallo. They wouldn't let you leave.
They would not. Even Shay was kind of the ringleader. He was kind of the ringleader. So,
Great bark.
I mean, thank you.
Great bark.
Thank you. But again, I mean, it's just I it goes to show what type of guys these are and how great they are, and it's a true window into what they're like, how much of a joy they are to be around every day, and I'm just so pleased that our fans get to see that.
And that was game number 82 of this regular season. Now we're getting into post game, bringing some postseason barks. Oh man,
we better watch out.
The energy's about to be through the roof here in Paycom Center, and I'm so excited. Thank you for that insight into your bark.
You're welcome.
I've been waiting so long to ask him about this, so thank you for that. That level of fun and so much more ahead for us.
All here, coming your way.
Exactly, here in Oklahoma City. Be sure, as Dan mentioned, go to OKCThunder.com. It has all of the information that you'll need on tickets, on Thunder Up in the Park, on where and how to watch Thunder games throughout the playoffs. That's going to be your hub for all that information. And then for a little extra spice, a little extra sizzle, at OKC Thunder on all social channels. They are going to get you geared up and hype for this playoffs. I'm already pretty jazzed about it, if you can't tell.
Oh, that end of season video essay that
Royce Young,
Michael Zubak, our whole crew, they put together, that was, it gave you the chills. I mean, all those feelings that we were talking about with Dan, that's in it right there. So more of that type of stuff to come as well.
We are so looking forward to it. And then, of course, always come back to the Thunder Basketball Universe podcast. We'll keep you up to date with all the insights, news, knowledge, notes, everything you need to know throughout this postseason. But until then, thank you so much for watching and listening. Be sure to like, rate, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much to Usman Jang, to Dan Mahoney, to our producer, Matt Bishop. And until next time, Thunder up and catch you later.